right. Welcome, everyone, to another special bonus Patreon-curated episode of That Record Got Me. Hi, I'm your host, Rob Elba. I hope everyone is doing well. For these episodes, I invite patrons of the show to send in their song submissions relating to a theme, and this episode is all about drummers. I started things off with little clips from some of my favorite drummers. You had Topper Heaton of The Clash, the late, great Alan Myers of Devo, Sam Fogarino of Interpol, Gang of Four's Hugo Burnham, Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac, Terry Chambers of XTC, and Peter Prescott of the Mighty Mission of Burma. All right. Regular listeners of the show may recall that I often poke fun at drummers. That's mainly because I played in bands for 40 years, and drummers, honestly, can often be a tremendous pain in the ass, especially when they're tuning one of their drums when you're trying to talk. But regular listeners will also recall that I've said many times a band is only as good as their drummer, and that a truly great drummers elevate everything they play on and can make good songs something magnificent, as you will see by all these great submissions I got from my patrons. Real quick, if you would like to start participating in these super fun episodes and join the TRJMH inner circle, it's easy. Just head over to patreon.com/TRJMH, and for as little as $2 a month, you can become a patron of the podcast. All right, let's get to it, because we got a lot of great submissions. We start the show off with patron Paul Raub, and a drummer I think many of us are familiar with. Take it away, Paul.
So I remember a few years ago sitting at the bar at Will's Pub in Orlando next to the drummers from a couple of bands that were playing that night. And this song came on the jukebox. And between us, we must have replayed it 4 or 5 times in a row, just glazed over at this amazing drumming. And that is Bill Stevenson of The Descendants and all. But in this case, it's his playing on the Lemonheads' No Backbone. It's just one of my favorite things ever. And if you love the Clem Burke, Keith Moon end of the universe, you owe it to give this a listen, especially that last 30 seconds or so. Dear God.
Thanks, Paul. All right, now here's patron Marcia Potts with her drummer pick.
Hey, Robin listeners, it's Marcia in Central Florida. And this topic, that drumming in that song Got Me High, comes at a great time for me as I just finished the new book, Drums and Demons, about studio drummer Jim Gordon 2 days ago. So obviously his work is at the forefront of my mind. For those that don't know who Jim Gordon is, the first sentence of his Wikipedia page reads, an American musician, songwriter, and convicted murderer. Anyway, Harry Nilsson's Jump Into the Fire, the album version of the Nilsson Smilsson, not the single. The single version omits the back half of the song, and the back half of that song has so much incredibly cool stuff musically going on, including a drum solo. Yeah, I said cool drum solo, that it's that drumming in that song that got me high.
Thank you. Marsha. All right, as you all know, we do have many patrons who are also musicians, and as you can imagine, our drummer patrons were all over this theme, including our friend Ezel Besaris.
Hello, Rob and fellow listeners. This is Ezel Besaris. Rob, as you can imagine, this is really hard for me. So I need to mention just three drummers, Steve Gadd, John Bonham, Jeff Porcaro. I have to say that. I thought about Jeff Porcaro and his work with Boss Gags and Steely Dan, of course, and Rosanna, which, you know, changed my life because I sat in my room trying to figure that out for many years. And then, of course, Steve Gadd, when I first heard 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, it changed my life. I was just a very young child, and I became a fan for life. But if I had to choose one song that got me so damn high that I knew I wanted to drum for the rest of my life, it would be Fool in the Rain by Led Zeppelin, John Bonham, with that incredible shuffle with those ghost notes that I couldn't figure out as an 8-year-old, but I eventually did, and I felt I had made it. And of course, it comes from Pretty Purdy, the great drummer for Steely Dan, and of course, Jeff Porcaro stole from it later when he did Rosanna, the Rosanna shuffle, which is basically Bernard Purdy and John Bonham and a little Bo Diddley shuffle in there for that song. But yeah, anyway, I digress. My answer is Fool in the Rain by Led Zeppelin with the great John Bonham. I love that shuffle. I still use it all the time to warm up before a show. I love you, Rob. Have a great show. Bye.
Thank you, Ezo. I think we can all agree that Bonzo had to be included in this episode, and that was a great submission. Now here's our friend Jay Reeve, who is also a drummer, by the way, with a short but sweet shout-out to the Melvins, Dale Crover.
Hey, Rob and fellow TRJMHers, this is Jay Reeve, and my choice for drummer that got me high is Dale Crover from the Melvins. Name of the album is Bullhead. The song is called Zodiac. That is my choice. Have a great one.
Thanks, Jay. Hey, guess what? It's our old pal and upcoming returning guest, Jeff Greenstein, with another must-be-mentioned drummer. So he mentioned him. Take it away, Jeff.
This is Jeff Greenstein. Keith Moon is the greatest rock drummer of all time. Every schoolchild knows this. However, I believe drummer is too limiting a term to describe what Keith Moon does on the song I'm about to, well, Rob is about to play for you. I Can See for Miles. You've heard it hundreds of times. I want to urge you, when you listen, to really zero into the ride of this song and how it entirely surfs on what Keith Moon is doing on the drums. It's unholy. It's freakish. I don't know how he does it. It is insane. Nobody else can do this thing that Keith Moon can do. I've heard covers of I Can See for Miles. No one does this. Okay? Listen and enjoy and revel and gape in awe. Keith Moon, The Who, I Can See for Miles.
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles. That I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. You took advantage of my trust in you when I was so far away. I saw you holding lots of other guys, and now you've got the nerve to say that you still want me. Well, that says maybe, but you gotta stand trial, because all the while I can see for miles.
Fantastic. Okay, here's patron Eric Auerbach with, I would say, a somewhat unappreciated drummer. I'm going to let Eric tell you who it is.
Hey, Rob and TRGMH listeners. This is Eric in San Francisco. And that song where that drumming got me high, I would have to say, would be one of the Holy Grail songs and Holy Grail bands. But I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna say the drumming on Marquee Moon by Television, by Billy Ficca in particular, has got to be one of my favorite drumming moments in rock history. I know the album Marquee Moon, and I know the band Television have not been touched yet on the show, and I can understand why folks are afraid. But, you know, in all honesty, Television is known for the amazing guitar work of Tom Verlaine and Richard Lloyd, and total props to them because, yes, they are indeed genius guitarists and songwriters. But the rhythm section needs a little love, too, and Billy Ficca in particular. When you listen to the drumming on Marquee Moon, that song just would not be the same without Billy Ficca's playing. The way he's got a groove, the shuffle, and the drive throughout that song is just amazing. Listening to the entire song, which I know you won't be able to play right now, every single time that drumming just blows me away. And Billy Ficca, as a drummer on everything he's done with Television, just always astounds me. And to have had the fortune of seeing him play live is lucky, and I'm super happy. So anyway, I'll stop rambling and stop gushing here, but the drumming on a record that got me high, Marquee Moon by Television, the entire album, but the song in particular, and Billy Ficca is one hell of a drummer.
Lightning strike.
Thanks, Eric. And now we have patron Corey Dubrawa with another seemingly out-of-the-box drumming pick, but not really. As usual, he'll explain everything much better than I could, so take it away, Corey.
Hey, everyone. Corey Dubrawa here. The song where the drumming got me high is the Reverend Al Green's I'm Glad You're Mine from his 1972 album I'm Still in Love with You. And Rob, well, I suspect a number of us will cite a track and then reference how many times it's been sampled, given that it's drums. In this case, the song has been sampled 199 times by artists ranging from the Notorious B.I.G., Eric B. and Rakim, to Kanye West, Massive Attack, even the Eels, and They Might Be Giants have all sampled this track. Really, it's not the sampling that holds the appeal for me. It's that deliberate, unusual beat that opens the track and then sets the tone for the whole languid way that I'm Glad Your Mind unfolds over the course of the next 3 minutes. Aside from Al Green's voice, the drums are basically the lead instrument on the track. It's the thing you notice first about the song. And the drums were played by the late Howard Grimes. That's him behind the kit. He was the house drummer for Memphis's High Records and the man behind not only the Reverend Al Green, but also Ann Peebles, whose song I Can't Stand the Rain also prominently features his drum playing.
Excellent pick, Corey. Okay, once again, this theme brought out the best in everyone. I would say we have some more obvious picks, which had to be included, and some completely new to my ears picks, like this one by our friend Poison Applethorpe, bringing an artist I was completely unfamiliar with, but I'm now obsessed with, I will admit. And I think some of you might be too after hearing this. Here's Poison.
Hi, guys. It's Poison coming at you with one of my favorites. This was probably the easiest Patreon episode for me to date, because I love a percussion, an obvious percussion in a song. And one good example of that is Jen Wigmore's Man Like That from her 2011 album Gravel and Wine. If you're not familiar with the name Jen Wigmore, you might be familiar with her other songs like Black Sheep, like Kill of the Night, which have been featured in promos, in trailers, in commercials. Although, in my opinion, she does fully transcend the world of ads, so to speak. She has her own unique artistry that harkens back to just traditional pop, but has this very modern, very edgy, but not explicit attitude. Man Like That, for instance, is basically a reverse Jolene. If Dolly Parton were approaching Jolene and warning her about her man, essentially, it's about these two women meeting each other and one another giving advice on the red flags that are about to appear to her in this new relationship. Its lyrics are very cheeky and very pointed. Its music is driven by this epic, aggressive percussion and chaotic horns that play out during the bridge. It's a nice, quick dash of a song. I think it's about like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes or less. So it won't take a lot of time out of your day. And it always gets my blood pumping. It always gets me in a mood to just F shit up. I hope y'all enjoy it.
I just want to let it play. Such a great track and some great drumming. Thank you, Poison. All right, here's our longtime patron and recent returning guest, Tom Lowry, with a deceptively tricky little drum performance by someone who went on to be known more as a singer. I will let Tom explain.
Hey, Rob, and That Record Got Me High listeners. This is Tom from St. Pete. For my pick, I chose Phil Collins as a drummer that I love. And the song that I think highlights his style is Turn It On Again from their 1980 album, Duke. This is their last great hurrah, I think, as an excellent album. They'd done prog rock, and Peter Gabriel had left the band by now, and they were kind of easing into art pop and eventually would get into pure pop, which is not my cup of tea. But hey, I don't blame them for cashing out of 13 or 15 years of prog rock. Anyway, this song, Turn It On Again, the theme of the song is a man that starts blurring the lines between reality and television, thinks people on television are actually his friends, kind of prescient for a lot of the isolation people feel today. The song is done rhythmically on a 6-4, then 7-4, or 13-8 time, which means it's very hard to dance to and impossible to clap to. So, they were doing a benefit to help Peter Gabriel in 1982, and Peter Gabriel can play drums. And he said, hey, Phil, you sing and I'll do the drums. And they were going to play Turn It On Again. And of course, Peter gets behind the drums and like, what the fuck? How do you play this thing? And Phil said, hey, I got it, bud. Anyway, here it is. Turn It On Again from Duke and Genesis. Enjoy.
Tom. All right. My friend and former TRJMH co-host Barry Stock is now a patron of the show. Look at that. And he was a recent guest talking about the Butthole Surfers. And here's his submission highlighting his favorite drummer.
Hi, friends. It's Barry Stock. You knew somebody was going to do it. Very recently, you may have heard of the death of someone named Damo Suzuki. Damo Suzuki was the singer for a famous in the underground ensemble entitled Can. And they made some records that were extraordinarily, and I use this with no exaggeration whatsoever, extraordinarily forward-thinking, and their drummer, Damo Suzuki, was their singer for their most lauded period. But the drummer, his name is Jackie Liebezeit, and he plays drums like a metronome, but like the best metronome you've ever heard in your life. And in fact, Jackie Liebezeit is my favorite drummer. And he passed in 2017 at the age of 78. This is Jackie's playing on Oh Yeah.
Thanks, Barry. And now here's patron Nick Riley with another drummer who I feel might be a little underappreciated.
Hi, Rob. Nick here, calling from Stockport in the UK. When I first saw the theme for this patron episode, I thought, okay, dead easy this one. But the more I thought about it, the more I changed my mind. So in the end, I let fate make the decision for me. As it happens, I'm off into Manchester tonight to watch the Pixies at Albert Hall. And as it happens, David Lovering is one of my favourite drummers. So my choice is Rock Music, second track from the 1990 album Bossa Nova. It starts with the most rousing of fills, the humble drum roll. Nothing too fancy, very effective. Enjoy the track.
Come on!
right. And now we're going to stay in the UK for our next patron, Richard Farnell, with another great outside-the-box drummer pick.
Hi, Rob. It's Richard Farnell here in Manchester over in the UK. The favourite drummers thing is really tough. I'm sure, like all of your listeners, we have a lot of favourites. I mean, do we go for the complex rhythms of George Hurley from Minutemen? Or another George, George Grantham from Country Pioneers Poco? He's one of my favourites. John Mayer, or John Marr, depending on your pronunciation, from Buzzcocks, also fantastic. And my ultimate drummer, Terry Chambers from XTC. However, I've decided to shine a light on a little less known drummer, I think, but he really deserves some attention. His name is J.D. Haney, or John Haney, and he was the drummer for the first two Monochrome Set albums. His drumming is really good. He can play swingy, jazz-type things. He plays all over the kit. Seems like he wants to play every drum at once. But it really, really works for the band. He also does the tribal thing, a kind of an Adam and the Ants thing, which kind of makes sense as the Monochrome Set were spawned from the B-sides, who also featured a young Stuart Goddard, otherwise known as Adam Ant. Anyway, J.D. Haney is, I think, a real unsung hero of the drums. Bizarrely, after playing on these two albums, he quit music altogether and became a writer, which is good, but he's so good I can't believe he was never in a session situation and became a session player. Many of the tracks on the first two albums feature his astounding drumming, but in this instance, I'm going for an instrumental, as you can really hear what he's up to. This track is called The Etc. Stroll, and it's from their debut album, Strange Boutique. I think you'll be impressed. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Richard. All right. I told you that our drummer patrons would be coming out of the woodwork for this. And here's longtime patron Woody Compton, no pun intended. You get that out of the woodwork with a somewhat surprising pick. As Woody mentions, it's a song we've all heard a bunch. But goddammit, if he's not right. When you really pay attention to the drumming, you realize how iconic the performance is by this quiet drummer who just happens to be in one of the biggest rock bands of the past 40 years.
This is actually one of the most difficult Patreon-curated episodes I've ever participated in. Right up there with favorite instrumental song, there are just too many great drum parts to choose just one to talk about. So, as a young kid in high school, I saw very early MTV. And this is back when they mostly played old new wave bands. So I was exposed to bands like U2 before they hit it big with the Joshua Tree. They used to play the video for Gloria off the October album quite a bit. And seeing Larry Mullen play drums, he looked like he was having fun. And I wanted to be in a band. It seemed like a cool thing to do. I thought about guitar. That's got a whole bunch of notes and seems kind of hard. Bass seemed easier, but it's kind of heavy and I'm not very big. I'm a short guy, so it seemed like it would be difficult to wear that thing. And I knew I couldn't sing. So I picked up the War album, as I knew the songs New Year's Day and Two Hearts Beat as One from MTV, so I figured it'd be a safe bet. Dropping the needle on War was life-changing for me. It starts with the drums. And this was not just any drums. This is a smack you in the face snare drum, a raw, aggressive sound that suits the song perfectly and sounds like a marching pattern and a rock drum beat kind of at the same time. The whole album is very drum-focused, as most records produced by Steve Lillywhite tend to be. The second song, Seconds, has a similar military-style pattern, and Refugee on side two, again, starts with big, powerful drums. The bridge is even a drum break. So as a young kid just getting into music, this set my path. The part for Sunday Bloody Sunday is one of the most, if not the most, recognizable drum part in all of rock music. I would be hard-pressed to think of any other song the average music listener would know from hearing only the drum pattern. Even frequently sampled songs like When the Levee Breaks and Funky Drummer probably wouldn't be recognized by the average person if you just played the drum part by itself. The drum pattern also appears not to be lifted from anything else I've ever heard. A lot of drum parts you hear can be traced back to their inspirations and are often kind of new twists on existing ideas. But the part for Sunday Bloody Sunday seems to be a truly unique pattern. It's not based on the guitar or bass part, and seems to be just a martial pattern expressed on a drum set. The sound of the drums is also important here. The snare is like a cricket bat to the skull. So many snare drums on records are muffled to the point of sounding nothing like a real drum, and are robbed of any character. Larry Mullen has had many great snare sounds through the years, but War has some of my very favorite sounds he ever had. Steve Lillywhite seems to bring the best out of drummers, and No Language in Our Lungs by XTC and Steel Town by Big Country are just two examples that come to mind of great drum parts with great drum sounds. I know the song Sunday Bloody Sunday has been played quite a bit, maybe too much. Songs that are played so often end up getting taken for granted sometimes. Their greatness gets diluted with overexposure. But this is an important drum part in the history of popular music, and it influenced countless drummers to try something besides just playing the backbeat on the snare drum on 2 and 4. This isn't a simple drum fill intro. The drums are so important to the song, they're given 4 full measures before the rest of the band comes in.
Thanks, Woody. Now here's patron Matt Marzullo with a drummer I imagine many are not familiar with. It's a great song with some fantastic drumming throughout.
Hey, Rob, this is Matt. So I guess there's a few ways we could think about this. Do we want to go with a great drum performance, or do we want to go with a memorable drum performance? And I realize they're not mutually exclusive, but I like a drum pattern that sticks in my head the same way that a great guitar riff or bass line might go. So with that in mind, my choice for this episode is Soul in Isolation by The Chameleons, one of my favorite bands. And the drums are performed by the late, great John Lever or Lever, not quite sure how you pronounce his name. And this is just a great song all the way through, but that drum part is amazing. I've seen it performed twice live, unfortunately, not by John, but by others, and it's just awesome. So check it out.
Thanks, Matt. Love the chameleons. All right. You know, for this episode in particular, as the submissions were coming in, I was like waiting for certain drummers to be brought up. And this drummer was definitely on my short list, and I will let Paul Marfleet tell you who it is.
Hi, Rob, and fellow TRJMH listeners. Paul Marfleet from Elsby in the UK here. My drumming in the summer Got Me High is Late for the Train by the Buzzcocks, the instrumental track that closes their second studio album, Love Bites. There's a case to be made that, of all the drummers in UK punk's first wave, the Buzzcocks' John Marr was the most versatile. His frenetic backbeat characterised the sound of their hit singles just as much as Pete Shelley's vocals or the band's buzzsaw guitars. But it's his playing on their more experimental album tracks which sets him apart from his peers. Marr has cited Jackie Leberzeit of Can as one of his primary influences. There's definitely something of a krautrock or Motrick vibe to his hypnotic, repetitive and precise drumming patterns on Late for the Train. It wouldn't surprise me if Stephen Morris took inspiration from Marr when developing his sound of Joy Division.
Thank you, Paul. Great track and a great drummer. Now here's patron Kathy Merriman with another great drummer I was hoping would be mentioned. And extra points to Kathy for managing to not mention a certain guitar player by name.
Hi, Rob and fellow TRGMH listeners. This is Kathy in Nova Scotia. Thanks, Rob, for the chance to contribute to this episode on That Drumming in That Song Got Me High. I've chosen a song that takes me back to my youth. When I was in high school in the 80s, my mom didn't outwardly seem particularly cool, but she had some pretty cool old records, and I was really, for a while, really into the music of the 1960s. And I used to listen to her records, and one of them was by Cream, Wheels of Fire. Cream were known for their guitarist, particularly, but for me it was all about that rhythm section, especially Ginger Baker's drumming. Now, I'm not a musician. I don't know anything about drumming. I have read a bit about how Baker was influenced by jazz and by African drumming. For me, the song I've chosen, which is White Room, really focuses more on the drumming than most of the songs on the album. Most of the songs on Wheels of Fire really are heavily, what we hear is the guitarist, that famous guitarist guy. But on White Room, the drumming is really front and center. The guitar is there, it sort of complements and fills in the spaces between the drumming. And okay, that guitarist guy gets a little more carried away later in the song. But for me, I love listening to this song because I just hear the drumming, and the song wouldn't exist without it. So here we go. It's all Ginger Baker in White Room by Cream.
In a white room with black curtains near the station. Black roof country, no gold payment, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark eye. Dawnlight smile on you leaving my contentment. I'll wait in this place
You said no strings could secure you at the station.
Good job, Kathy. Thank you. Okay, now we have our friend Dan Brombreek with what might be considered a controversial pick. It's a drummer and band I'm guessing 99.9% of you are probably unfamiliar with, and the drummer happens to be his brother. Okay, I'm allowing this because A, Dan's a super nice guy who obviously loves his family, and B, more importantly, the song rocks and the drumming in it is fucking fantastic. Seriously, it is. So turn it up and listen to Dan.
Hi, TRG Majors. It's Dan Bonebreak of the Lightworkers and Enablers. This is an interesting episode topic, and the usual suspects came to mind, such as All and Descendants' Bill Stevenson, Rush's Neil Peart, Burning Airlines and Foxhall Stacks' Pete Moffitt, Braden Hay Mercedes' Damon Atkinson, etc. But I'm going Nepo. The drumming in that song that got me high is 92, most commonly called Nine Deuce in my circle, by Pompano Beach's own Anchorman. My brother Daryl's drumming on this track has it all, and I believe it's some of, if not his best drumming ever recorded. It's his groove throughout the song, the brilliantly intricate hi-hat work in the verses. Seriously, turn it up and listen closely. And the intensity of the pre-chorus blast beats that really drive this track. In the choruses, he kicks in the band like a seasoned jazz drummer into the sax section of a real book standard, providing wonderful accents and never losing any of that melodic punk feel. The tom melody leading in the bridge is so tasteful and on point. The whole performance is musical, rhythmically interesting, and so tight. It's a showcase of talent without showing off. He seamlessly filled in so well on drums for my band for the latest Dan Hosker Music Continuum that we decided to record the songs we wrote for the gig with him. He's my favorite drummer to watch play. Enjoy.
Dan, and thanks, Daryl. Now here's Chicago patron Mick Hans with a great pick. We're not sure who the drummer actually is. Is it Mickey Boo? Is it Sly Dunbar? I don't know. It's hard to tell. I couldn't find out, but nevertheless, the song is a hoot. So take it away, Mick.
Hi, Rob. It's Mick. This episode cries out for some Lee Scratch Perry. I'm going with a cut from a 1978 record officially known as Lee Perry, the Upsetter, presents Roast Fish, Collieweed, and Cornbread. It's a fun, sometimes nutty record, with all kinds of unexpected rhythms and percussive bits zinging in, out, and over whatever Scratch happens to be talking about. I'm going to highlight Favorite Dish, in which Scratch, who's a self-proclaimed working man who feeds up strong, comes home feeling a bit peckish, and he's ready to dive into a plate loaded up with ackee, saltfish, dumpling, cowfoot, split peas, tripe, and broadbean. All the while, there's clomping, dinging, whooshing, gongs, Sly Dunbar or Mikey Boo drumming, it's hard to tell from the liner notes, a crying baby, and a mooing cow.
Rolling home from work, feeling kind of peckish, dying to reach home. Saltfish, dumpling and ayana, cow foot and split peas.
Thank you, Mick. Okay, we're getting to the end of the episode. This is the final submission I received under the wire from patron David Brogues Brogan.
Rob, top of the morning to you. It's Brogues here again on this fine St. Patrick's Day. Been thinking about the drumming on tons of records, and I've decided that that drumming in that song that got me high was on Are You Happy Now by the Charlottes. The Charlottes were a late 80s, early 90s indie pop band from, I think it's Cambridgeshire, and featured on the drums a young Simon Scott, who later went on to greater fame with Slowdive, a band who seem to be bigger now than they ever were in their Creation Records heyday. Are You Happy Now is over in under 2 minutes, and it's a pure blast of energy. And Simon's drumming is just so frenetic. I absolutely love it. So if you don't know it, check it out. It's a real blast.
And thank you all of my patrons who participated this month. I am constantly amazed and delighted by your fantastic submissions, and I really do appreciate all of you who listen and enjoy the show. Seriously. All right, before I give you my pick, I want to once again remind you that if you are a regular listener and would like to help support the show, please consider becoming a patron by heading over to patreon.com/TRJMH. Okay. The one drummer that I was waiting for someone to submit, and a couple people mentioned him, but no one submitted it, so I get to do it. He's one of the all-time greats, Mr. Clem Burke. For me, he is the epitome of a drummer who elevates everything he plays on. His drumming is musical, infectiously inventive, and at times over the top, but it's always perfect for the song. This song, Dreaming, is a great example of an already pretty great song made 100% better by the drumming. All right, thanks everyone for listening. I'm Rob Elba. Until next time.